found another meaning for the name Ahokshadra.
就是他就找到了一些关于 Ahokshadra 的另外一个意思。
Aksha means eyes.
Aksha 的意思是眼睛。
Atta means again.
Atta means 再一次。
Again. And Ja indicates birth.
所以说那个驾类似就是出生
Just like we observe the birth of Krishna as Krishna Janmashtami.
所以就像我们专注在 Krishna 的出生就是 Janmashtami 那天
So Ja indicates birth.
所以那驾就是出生的意思
Who was the first demon that Krishna killed?
所以说谁是 Krishna 杀的第一个恶魔呢
Uttana
Uttana Uttana
So after Putana was killed,
所以在 Putana 被杀掉以后
they found Krishna playing on the chest of Putana.
所以他们发现 Krishna 在 Putana 的这个胸膛上玩耍。
And the residents of Vrindavan were very happy to see Krishna.
所以而Vrindavan的居民非常开心地去见到 Krishna.
They said it is like the childwas nearly dead and now the child has been born again.
所以他们就好像是小小的 Krishna 死掉以后又重新活过来一样。
So they started calling him Ahokshadra.
所以他们就开始叫他 Ahokshadra. 再次出生。
Isn't that nice?
他说这个非常有意思。
Aksha means eyes.
Aksha 的意思就是眼睛。
Atta means again.
Ada means 再一次
Ja means birth
然后再一次就是 Ja means 出生
It's so nice to see that this child has been born again
所以他们非常快乐的能够见到 Krishna 再一次出生
We call him Ahokshadra
所以说他们就把这叫做 Ahokshadra
The devotional service unto Ahokshadra is the essence of all the Vedas.
而对 Krishna 的奉爱是整个韦达经的精华部分。
I have a suggestion.
他有一个建议。
After we finish class,
也在我们结束课。
Put some oil on those hinges so the door doesn't creak every time we open it.
他说放些油在那个门的那个把手那里，然后就不用这么想来想去了。
没想的
呢。Yeah, we're done. 那个课程结束以后。Yeah. 没得。
What else did we learn?
然后我们还学习到什么呢？
We learned that when we render devotional service that's not motivated,
所以说我们当我们从就是韦达经当中学习的奉爱服务的时候
then we can become fully satisfied.
然后我们就会得到完全的满足。
You remember that?
大家记得这个吗
？The Sanskrit phrase is "ahaituki," means causeless.
就是
without material cause.
然后那个刚才他说那个梵文词的意思就是不需要任何的代价，就是
without material motivation.
就是不需要这种物质上的什么等级或物质上的这种资格。
Srimad Bhagavatam is advising us to render our service without material motivation.
所以说圣典薄伽瓦坛他解释的是不依靠于这种物质性的资格去获得不足。
There has to be.Some motivation.
他说但是你需要有一些资格一些动机是吧动机
So we want spiritual motivation not material motivation
对就我们应该有这种灵性的动机而不是物质的动机
What's spiritual motivation?
那么什么是灵性的动机呢
The motivation of divine love trying to please Krishna
这种动机就是发展对 Krishna 的爱
What else did we learn?
我们还学习到了什么呢
We learned something about knowledge and detachment.
所以说我们学习到了一些就是气觉的知识。
Who can remember?
谁还能去记得？就不依附，就看出。
Who can remember?
谁还记得？
Knowledge and detachment. You can remember because you take care of notes.
Detachment is. 你还能记得吗？
She keeps careful notes, so she can remember. Say it, say it. She keeps careful notes, so she can remember.
就是说，她因为她可以，她做了笔记，所以说她可以记得住。
也不知道讲的对不对啊？就是应该就是没有任何东西的全部，什么东西都没有。
No more, more, more.
Krishna 来没有任何东西。
Love to Krishna, no any, nothing any motivation.
Yeah. What about knowledge and detachment? What can we learn about knowledge and detachment?
Detachment. 不依附知识，就是不依附怎么是，什么是不依附的知识？
Do you remember?
大家还记得吗？
Not sure.
不记得吗？
If I say the verse in Sanskrit, will it help you?
就是他要是唱一个诗节的话。
Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janiyati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahai Tukam. Knowledge and detachment are inside.
他说不依附的这样的知识在我们心中。
Just like fire is stored in wood.
就像那个用火点可以点到这个木头一样。
It's a very practical way to get the fire distorted wood to come out.
所以说这是一个很自然的方式，这个火就会从木头里出来。
We bring fire next to the wood, and the fire that's in the wood comes out.
所以说当我们把火靠近这个木头的时候，这个木头自然就变成了火。
Should we try it?
我们要试一下。那打。
So similarly, knowledge and detachment are within the soul.
所以同样的这种不依附的知识在我们的跟我们灵魂在一起。
And there's a way to bring that out.
所以说我们需要把它焕发出来。
What brings it out?
那怎么样才能把它带出来呢？
Devotional service to Vasudeva.
而是对 Krishna 的奉爱服务。
Vasudeva is another name of Krishna.
所以说 Vasudeva 他的名就是 Krishna 另外一个名字。
Remember that? Vasudeva is the son of Vasudeva.
Vasudeva 的名字就是 Vasudeva 的儿子。
Vasudeva is the son of Vasudeva.
所以说 Vasudeva 就是 Vasudeva 的儿子。
No. There's a difference. Father's name, Vasudeva, son's name is Vasudeva.
所以说父亲的名字是叫 Vasudeva
No Vasudeva Vasudeva
Vasudeva
You get that
他说你们混你们知道吗
So if we render devotional service unto Vasudeva Then the natural condition of knowledge And the natural condition of detachment awakened within the soul.
所以说，当我们对 Krishna 献出这种奉爱服务的时候，这种不依附的知识，就是这种本性就会被幻化出来。
That was Friday evening.
所以说，这个是周五晚上我们学习。
What did we discuss yesterday morning?
然后昨天早上我们讨论了些什么
？What does verse 8 say?
所以说，第八个世界解释了什么呢
？The discussion was about Dharma, remember?
所以说我们讨论的是一些 Dharma 记得吗
Dharma Shaswanastata Pumsan Vishvaksena Kata Sayat Notadiyad Yadi Ratim Shramayavani Kevalam Nice verse What is Dharma? Someone answer
什么是 Dharma 呢你们是能回答吗
Simple answer
一个简单的回答
履行你的职责，始终想着Krishna。
总是
在心中想着
Krishna，
放弃还未有的
东
西，始终想着
Krishna。Do your duty. Yes. And thinking
Krishna. Yes. Most times, Dharma refers to worldly duty.
所以说，大部分的时间是根据我们的职责。
Then there's transcendental duty.
然后还有那些超然的职责。
transcendental duty is the topmost duty.
然后超然的职责就是最高级的职责。
That's discussed in this nice verse in Bhagavad Gita that you were, I asked you to learn.
所以说这个就在我们下一个要学的世界当中。
Aham Pam Sarva Pamedyo Mahmoya Shami Vacha. So there's all these different dharmas or duties presented in Bhagavad Gita.
他说在国家梵歌当中解释了那么多的 dharma 还有你的还有职责。
And Krishna says that one is above them all.
他说其中有一个是最重要的。
Just like there's a light fixture hanging from the ceiling over here.
说就像看到那个就是那个灯的就大概是挂在那里。
There's a nicely colored cover around the lamp.
所以说在那个灯上面外边有挂了很。
In the middle, there's a bulb that when you turn the switch on, it shines.
所以当你打开开关的时候，中间会有一个发光。
And the light comes through the side, filtering through the shade around the lamp.
所以说在那个通过那个罩子，然后那个灯光就会散发出来。
And the whole fixture is hanging from that ceiling piece coming down.
所以说就因为那个灯挂在那里，然后那个光线就这么照下来。
Supposing you had everything in place except that little ceiling piece.
所以说，假如说你有所有的东西，只是缺少了那个中间那个发光那个灯泡。
Useless.
然后是没有用的。
But when that's there, then the other pieces have some benefit.
所以说只有那个灯泡那个发光那个东西在那里的时候周围的那些才有用途。
The same idea with this verse from Bhagavad Gita.
所以同样的这种想法就是在那个佛家梵歌那个师姐。
All other duties are subordinate to this higher duty.
而所有的其他的职责实际上都在支撑的那个职责。
The higher duty supports all the other worldly duties.
所以说而最高的那个职责它实际上是它支撑的所有的其他的职责。
What's that higher duty?
那个最高的职责是什么
Surrender to Krishna.
是臣服于 Krishna.
Sharanam means surrender.
Sharanam 意思就是臣服。
Mam ekam sharanam means surrender unto me eka alone.
然后那个师姐的意思就是只是臣服于我。
Yesterday after the discussion at the yoga studio.
所以说昨天晚上在昨天下午在那个瑜伽馆结束了那个讨论以后。
There was some discussions.
然后就会有一些讨论的。
And I was asking one of the persons attending.
所以说他当时去问一个参加的其中一个人。
Who I met before and there's already some relationship.
人。
I met this woman before, so there's already some relationship.
就是说，他说我在见到你之前肯定会有一些关系，是吧？就有一些关系。
So I challenged her.
所以说，他就向他挑战。
What's the ultimate goal of life?
他说你最高的职责是什么？你最高的目标是什么？最高的目标是什么
？She thought a little bit.
让他想了一会儿。
And she said there should be many goals in one's life.
她说我的生活当中应该有很多的目标。
She said that's fine. There should be many goals.
她说这样很好，人生应该有很多目标。
What's the ultimate goal of those many goals?
但是那些目标当中最重要的、最主要的目标是什么？
She didn't know how to answer.
然后她就没有了回答。
This verse.Text number 8 gives the answer.
而这个师姐就给了我们这个第八个师姐给了我们解释。
We discussed yesterday that the purpose behind all activities, all dharma, is to remember Krishna.
而我们昨天讨论的是我们所有这些 Dharma 的这些活动实际上都是为了去记忆 Krishna。
Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna.
然后总是想着 Krishna, 不要忘记 Krishna.
And the best way to always remember Krishna,
然后通过这样的方式总是去记得 Krishna.
That which awakens our dormant consciousness of Krishna.
也这样的话才 唤醒我们心中对 Krishna 这种印象的意识。
It's hearing about him through sound vibration.
然后通过这个声音的震动。
Giving oral reception, sound into the ear of transcendental message about Krishna.
所以说就是通过这个声音的震荡把 Krishna 的知识灌输进去。
So that's what text 8 says.
所以说这个就是第八个世界所解释。
If the eagerness to hear message of Krishna does not awaken,
所以说如果你只是去如果你想去聆听的话，然后才会得到焕发。
Then you'll never reach the ultimate purpose of life.
对，如果你不去聆听的话，你就没办法被焕发，就没办法得到那个最终的目标。
And if you live your life without even knowing what the ultimate purpose is,
如果你生活当中都不知道那个目标的话
，or knowing what the ultimate purpose is but not striving for that,
或者是我们知道我们目标并不去付出努力的话。
You're not using your human form of life properly.
然后这就是你没有正确的使用你的这种人类的身体，人类的身体。
Actually, it says even stronger. You're wasting your time.
然后尽管你看起来很强壮，但实际上你在浪费你的生命。
Srimad Bhagavatam can be very heavy sometimes.
然后这样的话，就是有的时候佛家法门说的非常非常强烈，非常。
Now I'll do a little review of the next two verses.
所以紧接着我们就来去讲说，紧接下来两句。
When I was visiting in Panjab, we discussed these two verses one morning.
所以说有一次他去杭州。
杭州，
他去了杭州。
杭州。
他解释了这个事情。
We discussed verses 9 and 10.
然后他就解释了第九个世界和第十个世界。
I'll summarize briefly.
然后还有一些其他的，
The subject matter continues with the principle of Dharma.
所以说它的主题就是去持续投我们的 Dharma.
And in the principle of Dharma, generally people want something.
然后在一般的这种执着、这种 Dharma 上。有一些每个人就是人都想要一些东西。
We do something to get something.
然后我们都是想做一些什么事情，然后获得一些什么利益，获得一些目标。
Try to think of something that you do or people do where they're not doing something to get something.
然后就是通常人们就是。我想要获得一些什么事情，然后我去做这些事，然后我去做。
Bhagavatam is addressing the consciousness of people that engage in dharma.
所以说，不加瓦坦他提到的那些有知觉意识的人，他从事于这种 dharma.
Fruits come, piety results in prosperity. Fruits come from pious work.
所以说，他是品尝就是。
果实从虔诚的活动里。
对对对，就是那个获得虔诚的果实。
People want wealth.
就人们想要财富。
So a pious person engages in piety so that they'll have pious results so that they will have wealth.
所以那些虔诚的人们，他从事一些虔诚的活动，然后最后得到一些虔诚的果实。
It's valued in the world.
所以说这个对这个世界非常有价值。
I forget where in China it was. It was in a train station or an airport.
所以他不记得在中国的哪个飞机场，还是在什么地方。
And there was a huge billboard promoting charity.
所以他那里有一个巨大的那个charity，
慈善。
就是他那在那里举行了一个巨大的慈善活动。
It took up the entire wall, and it was a huge wall.
所以说，它整个墙都是那个宣传，举行那个活动。
The message was basically China is now prospering, be kind, give charity to others.
所以说，在中国这样的实际上就是在于你做这样的虔诚活动，就是推行进行虔诚活动。
By giving charity to others, you will prosper even more.
所以说当你去做这样的虔诚活动，你会得到
更富有，
你会更变得更富有。
You do something to get something.
然后就是你做一些什么，做了什么事情，然后就获得
even charity.
然后或者说是那些虔诚的。
We know from Bhagavad Gita that people that engage in charitable work, they feel a sense of happiness. They become conditioned by a sense of happiness.
所以说，布加凡哥提到的，他说你通过做一些虔诚的活动，你会变得更加快乐。
We all know the feeling.
然后我们也都知道这样的感受。
Do something for others, and you feel something.
然后当你为别人做一些什么事情的时候，你心中也感受到这样。
You feel a contentment inside.
然后你会感到满足。
That's material happiness.
然后这些就是一些物质的快乐。
So many people give in charity because they like that feeling.
然后很多人他愿意给出一些布施，做一些让他们虔诚活动，在于他们会有这样的感受，会有这种满足的感受。
It also gives them a sense of superiority.I'm up here, someone else is down there, I'll help them.
所以说就相当于是有些人的处境就是不好的。
他觉得比别人高一点，我可以给别人一些东西。
对对对，就是。
There's some passion, happiness as well.
所以说这个就相当于是一些怜悯的这种感受吧。怜悯的感受。
Mix of passion along with goodness.
所以说这种有这种怜悯之心是很好的。
A person in the mode of passion, they like to protect.
所以说有怜悯心的人他就会想去保护别人。
Generally within giving of charity, there's that passion happiness also.
所以说通过给出一些这样的布施，他就会获得这样的这种有这样的怜悯之心。
If you want happiness, be compassionate.
所以如果你想变得开心，那么你就要去有怜悯之心。
It's what Buddhism teaches.
所以说这个也是佛教的教导。
And there is a happiness.
然后这就是快乐的原因。
Bhagavatam is teaching us go beyond that mode of goodness happiness.
然后佛家瓦坛所讲述的这种快乐是要超过这些佛教所讲的那些快乐。
Strongly Bhagavatam advises don't do dharma.To get something.
然后特别强调的是不要做一些这样的达玛去只是为了获得一些什么。
Rather you should be seeking ultimate liberation.
然后或者也就是甚至于就是或者是更不要去寻求一些解脱。
And you know what ultimate liberation is, right?
然后大家我们知道那些无限的解脱。
What is the ordinary sense of liberation?
那么什么是那种解脱呢
？Who can say？
谁能说得解？谁能说到？什么是
liberation？
什么是解脱
？Cessation of material misery。
然后就是远离这种物质的痛苦。
It's defined by not this。
然后它建立于不要这不是不要这些不要这样。
Here there's struggle and misery and strife。
因为在这里有很多不幸，有很多的这种困难。
Liberation is not this.
然后解脱的意思就是我不想要这些，远离这些。
But that's not, Bhagavatam explains that is not ultimate liberation.
所以说，布加瓦坛解释的，他说这并不是最终的解脱。
It's definition by negation.
It's definition.
That is the depth. What I just expressed is defining liberation.By negating material existence, what I just described.
Yeah. 所以说他刚刚解释的这种解脱，实际上是建立在物质存在的基础上。
That doesn't tell you what the positive happiness of the soul is.
然后他这里边并没有解释了关于灵魂的快乐。
It's minus misery and suffering.
所以说这里边有这么多的不幸还有困难。
Now what's the positive?
那么什么是正面的这种积极？
That's what ultimate liberation is.
然后这才是真正的这种解脱。
Ultimate liberation is engaging in devotional service.
而这种正面的，就是这种积极的解脱，是从事于这种奉献服务。
Why does that bring ultimate happiness?
为什么这些能够给予我们快乐呢？
Because Krishna by nature is full of knowledge, bliss, and eternality.
所以说，就是因为 Krishna 是永恒全知的、极乐的。
If you connect with Krishna, that's ultimate liberation.
所以说，当你跟 Krishna 相连的时候，你才能获得真正的解脱。
And now I'll summarize.
所以现在我们有一些结论。
When we engage in our prescribed duty,
所以当我们去从事一些被既定的职责的时候，
we should offer it to Krishna.
我们需要把它供奉给 Krishna.
For the pleasure of Krishna.
为了 Krishna 的快乐而去做。
We shouldn't be motivated to get something.
然后我不应该去想要去，只是为了获得什么。
Just simply to give something.
然后只是。不应该只是去想要获得什么，或者得到什么。
Give service to Krishna.
而只是去服务于 Krishna.
There's happiness in giving service to Krishna.
然后我们的快乐应该是给 Krishna 一个服务。
That's the happiness of love.
然后这个是爱的这种快乐。
Then comes something even more subtle.
然后这样的话就会变得更加的精微小。
Subtle. You have me?
Subtle.
Supposing you're a nice devotee.
假如说你是一个很好的奉献者。
And you're trying to do devotional service.
然后你也想去做一些奉献服务。
You're not trying to get something material.
然后你也不是说我想要获得一些物质的利益。
And you're living your life happily practicing devotional service.
然后你的生活也快乐地从事这些奉献的服务。
Then suddenly something happens.
然后突然之间有些事情发生了。
Here comes some wealth.
然后突然之间获得了一笔财富。
You weren't expecting it, but it just comes.
然后你也并不是说我去想要获得它，结果它那笔财富就到来了。
So someone might think.
然后有些人可能会想到。
Oh, Krishna is very pleased. He wants me to enjoy. He's given me nice wealth. Let me enjoy.
所以说哦 ，Krishna 非常非常非常高兴，然后他给了我这些财富，让我去享受它。
Maybe it's not wealth.
也许这并不一定是财富。
Maybe because you're a nice devotee, people start praising you and speaking kind words to you.
也许是你做了很多的奉献服务，然后奉献者开始去称赞你、夸奖你。
They're honoring you and respecting you.
然后开始去崇拜你，开始就是很尊敬你的。
And the nice devotee may think.
然后那些这个好的奉献者就也许会想到
Well, I wasn't hoping to get praise and honor and appreciation from others.
原来我是想获得这些这样的就是别人称赞这样的荣誉。
But I guess Krishna wants me to enjoy this praise and honor and special recognition.
Okay, 就是说我并不是想要这些，但是 Krishna, 就是我并不是想要这些荣耀，但是 Krishna 想要让我来去享受这些 ，Krishna 给予我这些，让我去享受。
Verse 9 in Canto 2 Bhagavatam says, chapter 2 says, no, don't take those things that come from devotional service and try to be the enjoyer of those things.
所以说 Krishna, 所以说不在《薄伽瓦坛》当中的第九个世界就解释着，不要去试图去享受这些，不要去试图去考虑这些。
Then what are you supposed to do?
那么我们应该去做什么呢？
Offer to Krishna.
你应该去供奉给 Krishna.
Here comes some wealth. Offer to Krishna.
不管有什么样的财富到来的时候，应该把它供奉给 Krishna.
Here some praise and appreciation comes. Offer to Krishna.
然后这里面有一些荣耀去荣耀你的时候，你应该把它供奉给 Krishna.
Because we want Krishna to be praised.
因为我们是想要 Krishna 获得这样的因为我们是想取悦 Krishna.
As I said, the point is subtle.
所以就像我说的，实际上这是一种精微的层精微的想法。
When you're a little successful in devotional service,
所以说当你获得在奉献服务能获得一点点的满足的时候
，something will come to you.
然后有些事情就会来到你身上。
Never try to be, never become the enjoyer of that little something.
所以说千万不要在这个时候试图去享受这些。
Instead.Offer to Krishna.
而是要坚持把它供奉给 Krishna.
Use whatever comes to you in service to Krishna.
所以说，无论什么来到你身上，都应该把它供奉给 Krishna.
It's very simple.
这样非常简单。
But material consciousness is very tricky.
但是这种物就是这很简单，但是这种物质的这种能力非常非常有诱惑力，非常非常。
We are very easily deceived by Maya.
就我们非常容易就是去服务 Maya， 被 Maya 欺骗，被 Maya 欺骗。
So we should be very careful.
所以说我们需要非常非常小心。
And there's one more verse, text number 10.
然后紧接着是下面第十个世界。
Again, it's about Dharma.
同样是关于解释 Dharma。
And I'm going to summarize it.
然后他想来总结一下。
Might be nice if I gave you a little exam at the end of my visit.
所以说他其实想最好是能给你们一些考试在他的解释当中。
I feel like I'm a professor trying to share knowledge with you.
所以说他也他觉得他就像一个老师在去分享一些知识给他的学生。
Some of you know Ratanavaja Swami, right?
有些人知道 Ratanavaja Swami.
Ratanavaja Swami.
Ratanavaja Swami. Okay, okay, yeah.
He visits in Hong Kong.
他说就是那个 Ratanavaja
Swami. Ratanavaja
Swami.
Ratanavaja
Swami.
Ratanavaja
Swami.
He comes here? No.He shared something with me.
然后他那个 Swami 有一次去跟他分享了一些。
I was visiting in our Houston temple at the same time that he and Giriraj Maharaj were also visiting.
所以说他有一次在休斯顿的庙宇，刚好那个 Ritadevaj Swami 也在那里。
And so was Giriraj Swami.
所以说那里也有 Giriraj Swami.
They were there for several weeks, so they asked me to give.Sunday class at the temple.
所以说他们在那里就想让 Maharaj 去给那个星期天的那个讲课。
So I gave the class. They requested me to do that.
所以说他就给了他们要求他给的那个讲课。
And they both said the same thing.
然后他们两个人同时说了一件事情。
They really like the way I give class.
他说他非常喜欢 Maharaj 给的那个讲课。
They said you're like a professor.
他说你想要这种教授吗
？You're not preaching at the people, you're educating the people.
他说你就是你很适合去教去向那些有或者有知识的人去传教。
If I hadn't become a devotee,
他说如果我成了奉献者
，I would have had one of two professions.
他说我需要有两个教授。
I was going to be a doctor.
他应该是。成为一个医生
or professor
或者说是一个教授
so now as a devotee I'm a spiritual doctor and professor
所以说他现在成了一个奉献者所以说他就变成了一个灵性的医生和一个教授
it's important simply that we hear
所以说这样对于我们听我们要非常小仔细来听
but it's also important that it goes inside
所以说当那些重要的事情开始聆听进去的时候
Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Sandhavaha in the language of Srimad Bhagavatam. The message of Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be heard, vibrated, and bring it inside your heart and make it your life.
所以这是国家宝藏的一个师姐，他说那些有那些声音，有出的声音，他说通过耳朵这里聆听进去，然后通过嘴巴声音诉说出来，然后最后我们进入我们的内心，进入。
The purpose of reviewing all these points.
所以说这些都是为了能够达到这些这样的要点。
Is so that it goes inside.
然后因为我们的灵魂在我们的内心。
It's not just an academic exercise.
所以这并不是
academic. It's not just something we're
不是学术。
这不是学术上的。
We're not just testing your skill to remember things.
然后他只是想去测试你是不是记住了。
If you understand the concept nicely, you can make it part of your life.
所以说，如果你能很好的去理解到那概念的时候，你就会很好的能够在生活当中运用它。
And when you live your life according to the Bhagavatam's teaching,
就当你能够按照国家瓦坛所教导的去生活的时候
，your experience of this world changes completely.
所以说，你对于这个世界的这种感受就完全的转变，完全的变化。
The world is the same world.
然后语言还是那些同样的。
But your experience of this world changes.
但是你对这个世界的感受就改变了。
And your ability to be an instrument of Krishna's will changes.
所以说当你去 ability
to be an instrument of Krishna or fulfill Krishna's will,、
yeah.
it improves. You become better at it.
所以说你这样的话就是去为 Krishna 做一些服务也会更加的得到提升。
That's why I'm going through all this asking, do you remember yesterday's class?
所以说这就是为什么他来去问你们能够在昨天的课当中记住了什么。
To help the message go inside.
因为他会帮助我们这个将这些知识进入我们的内心。
So that then you can live the message.
然后这样的话我们才能够根据这些信息而去生活。
It's also like embracing the lotus feet of Krishna.
那这样就相当于是，拥抱 Krishna 的莲花足一样。
You can embrace the lotus feet of Krishna through sound.
所以你可以通过这种声音来去拥抱 Krishna 的莲花。
This first canto and second canto are compared to the lotus feet of Krishna.
所以说第一 canto 就是第一篇和第二篇都是来去拥抱 Krishna 的。
If you achieve the lotus feet of Krishna,
如果你想要获得 Krishna 的莲花足
you have Krishna's association.
所以你这样的话，你就会获得对 Krishna 和 Krishna 的联谊。
So reach out your arms and grab on the lotus feet of Krishna.
所以说，我们应该张开双臂去拥抱 Krishna 的莲花足
And you're with Krishna.
然后这样的话，你就和 Krishna 在一起。
And that's through sound vibration.
然后
messages.
这些就是通过这样的知识，就是这些声音，这个这样的知识。
That's what I'm trying to do.
所以这个就是他现在想做的事情。
Okay, let's go to verse number 10.
然后现在我们学习第十个主题。
Again, it's speaking about duty.
同样也是解释这个职责。
Kamasyanendriya fitir labho jivet yavata.Jivasya tattva jigyasa nartho yasheha karma di. We all know what karma means.
所以我们都知道那个 karma 的意思吗？
In this case, it means religious duty.
而这个 karma 在这里解释的意思就是宗教的 duty.
Not just the unregulated activity that everybody is doing in the world.
并不是像那些普通的那些外面的大众所做的那些职责。
But specifically,religiously guided activity.
然后在这里特别是指的那些跟宗教相关的职责。
Religious duty.
是那些宗教职责。
And, this verse repeats the same direction of message.
所以说这些知识它又重复了我们这些信息的目标，这些信息的方向。
The Sanskrit word indriya means senses.
所以说这个梵文词那个 indra 就是感官的意思。
For materialistic people, the senses are a means to get enjoyment.
然后对于这些普通的大众来说，感官是用来获得享受的。
This verse is advising, don't be like that.
然后这个师姐她提到，不要去想做这样的事情。
Do not see the senses as instruments for getting material enjoyment.
然后不要用我们的感官去把它当成工具去直获的这些享受。
There are necessities of life.
然后我们的生活有 society.
There are necessities. There are needs. We have the body has certain needs.
Yeah, yeah, okay. 所以说我们生活我们的身体是有一些需求，我们的身体有一些需要。
We need to eat something.
我们需要吃东西。
So our eating should not be for sense gratification, but service to Krishna.
所以说我们吃这些食物并不是只是为了去享受，而是应该去服务 Krishna.
We need to preserve our health.
我们应该去保持我们的健康。
But we should preserve our health in service to Krishna.
我们应该将我们的健康去用来服务 Krishna.
We need to,develop our intellect, our power of discernment. We need to develop our intelligence.
所以说我们需要发展我们的智力，我们需要发展智力。
Do that as a service to Krishna.
把我们的智力用于服务于 Krishna.
Go to school for Krishna.
然后去为 Krishna 去上学校，去学校。
It may be a challenge to understand how to do that.
然后这里就会有一个挑战，是怎么样去做这些事情。
the death that the Bhagavatam is teaching us.
所以说这个就是佛家瓦坛所教导我们的知识。
Most people, again, they do the things that they do to get something.
然后大部分的人都是为了取得一些目的而去做这些事情。
In China and all over the world, many young people are going to school with an ambition.
所以说有就是只在中国包括整个世界有那么多人去上学就是为了获得一份工作。
What's the ambition?
Ambition.
What is that ambition? What is that desire?
就是他们想要什么？他们想获得什么 ？Ambition， 学位是吧？
野心。
嗯。野心是吧？他就是为了一些野心去上学。
They want to get into a good university.
实际上他们都是想为了去一个著名大学。
So they can get a good job.
所以他就可以获得一个好的工作。
So they can get money.
然后这样的话他就会获得金钱
and enjoy.
然后获得他享受的生活
Studies are for that reason, largely.
所以说大部分人的学习都是为了这个为目的
so what should be the motivation of a devoted student?
那么对于一个奉献者的这种学生他的动机应该是什么呢
We do our studies because it's part of our service to Krishna.
然后我做这样的学习就是因为它是 Krishna 一部分
I need to preserve this body
我需要去使用我们的这个身体
So I will need some occupation
所以说我需要获得一些职责职业我要有一个职业
And so I'll do my studies as required in my service to Krishna
所以说我去学习这样的知识就是因为我要从事一些对 Krishna 的服务
But it's not formaterial gain.
但是并不是为了获得这些物质的这种进步物质的
This is text number 10.
所以这个就是国家瓦坛第十个世界是讲述的内容
What should be the goal of life?
我们生命的目标是什么
Right in the verse.
然后就是在这个世界里面
Inquire about the absolute truth.
然后去获得这种最高的真理
I do what I need to do to take care of my necessities.
然后我做我周围的事情去只满足我生活的基本的需求
and as much as possible I give energy to inquiring about the absolute truth
所以说尽可能的用我们的精力去询问这个绝对的真理
this is an explanation of Vedanta Sutra
所以说这个是对维丹纳苏特的一个解释
that's another big topic
然后这是另外一个很大的话题
Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be a commentary on Vedanta Sutra.
然后圣典国家瓦坛被称作是对维丹达苏特的一个解释和评注。
Have you heard that before?
大家听过这句话吗？听过这样吗
Yes. What does that mean?
然后这个它意味着什么呢
What's the significance of saying that Srimad Bhagavatam is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra?
就是为什么会被说为圣典薄伽瓦坛是对维丹纳苏特的一个解释和说明呢
I'll spend a little bit of time explaining.
然后他花一点时间来解释它
And then we'll come back to the next verse of Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后我们再回到这个圣典薄伽瓦坛的下一个世界
The Vedic picture of time is that time moves in cycles.
所以说在伟达的时间里面就相当于一个是一个循环的这样的一个轮回一个循环
In every day of Brahma there's 1000 cycles of the four yugas
所以说在 Brahma 的一天当中有1000个这样的四个 Brahma 的这样的一个轮回
During every Dwarapa Yuga the third of those four yugas Vyasadeva appears.
所以在每一个这种每四个年代，像在白就是那个黄金年代，然后维亚萨就会出生一次。
And Vyasadeva takes the one Veda and divides it into four.
所以说，而维亚萨就会把这个同样的韦达把它分成四个部分。
actually the term Veda Vyas means. He divides the Vedas.
而实际上就是 Vyasa 的这个意思就是他是
turn, he divides the Vedas.
所以说他就是把这个伟达分开分成分成
Vyasa means divides.
Vyasa 的意思就是去分开去
he divides the Vedas.
让他把伟达经分成四部分成四
before he divides the Vedas into four, there's one.
所以说在把伟达经分成四部之前那只有一部
He divides them into four to make it easier for people in Kali Yuga.
然后他去分成这四部，实际上就是为了让卡利年代的人们更能够了解他。
They're divided according to the different functions of Vedic sacrifice.
所以说他把它分成四个部分，就是根据这个韦达所它的定义和它的用途。
After dividing the Vedas.
然后在他把它分成四部以后
He does one other very important service.
然后他做了一个非常重要的服务
He takes the histories the Puranas and the Itihasas and he consolidates them he shrinks them he makes them into a smaller number
OK 就是说他把所有的这些往事书然后他把它浓缩然后精华用那些简短的这种文字记录下来
Do you know how many verses there are in Srimad Bhagavatam?
你们知道在博迦瓦坛当中一共有多少个诗节吗十几万
一万
八千
In Srimad Bhagavatam there's 18,000 verses
有一万八千
18,000 verses. In all the Puranas, there are 400,000 verses.
而在那个四到三位，到三个是有十整个的伟达当中有十万个诗节，往事书有十万个诗节。
400,000.
有十万。
四十万。
包含。
400,000.
四十万个诗节。
All the Puranas.
所有的这些往事书。
In the heavenly planets, there are 6 billion verses.
在那个天堂有600万个诗节。
For all of the Puranas.
然后对于这所有的伟达经，所有的往事书。
Vyasadeva had this amazing task of reducing the number of verses to 400,000 from 6 billion.
所以说而维亚萨他就从那六百万当中把它浓缩成四十万这个
事 How would you like that service?
所以说他做了就这样的服务
And just do it yourself
所以你们可以试一下
And not miss anything still give the essence
然后同样他又给予了这些更重要的
So he did these two things He divided the one Veda into four
所以他做了这两件事情一个是把伟达经分成了四部
and then he reduced the number of Puranic verses to 400,000
所以说然后他就把整个的这六百万的这种伟达这种往事书把它压缩成了四十万
but he wasn't done yet
但是他还没有做完
he wrote Vedanta Sutra
然后他写了伟达那书册
what's Vedanta Sutra?
伟达那书册是什么呢
it'sSmall, very, very tight statements explaining all of the Vedic literature.
而伟大的书则就是他写的非常紧凑，非常简短，而解释了整个的维达纳经。
And then he wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra.
而且，并且他还为这个维达纳书则做了一个评注。
That's Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后那个评注就是圣典维达瓦坦。
So in case you're not able to read all of the Vedas.
然后尽管我们没有办法去来阅读所有的伟达经
You could study Vedanta Sutra
我们可以学习伟达纳书册
But Vedanta Sutra is very difficult to understand
但是伟达纳书册非常困难的去理解它
This word Sutra means little codes or aphorisms or very tight sayings
所以说那个书册的意思就是非常非常压缩非常非常紧凑就是
Puzzling, very difficult to understand.
然后它是非常困难的，就几乎没有可能去理解它。
Everybody that writes their commentary on Vedanta Sutra comes up with something else.
所以说每个人大都去引述这个伟大书所然后就获得得到了不同的东西。
But Srimad Bhagavatam explains it.
但是博迦瓦坛去确实来去解释伟大书。
So Srimad Bhagavatam gives the essence of all the Vedas.
也就是说博迦瓦坛它是给予了这个伟大那经的这个解释这个总结。
Isn't that nice?
所以是不是很好的一个
It's very nice.
然后这样其实很好。
We just study Srimad Bhagavatam and we can then understand the essence of all the Vedas.
所以说我们只是通过学习博迦瓦坛我们就可以学习到整个的伟大经。
Very nice.
所以这样就是非常好。
So the verse that we were just looking at, text number 10,
所以说我们学习到的第十个诗节
says that The goal of life should be inquiring about the absolute truth.
所以说第十个世界就是说我们的职责就应该是去询问绝对真理。
And that's exactly what Vedanta Sutra says.
然后并且他确定了伟大的书所是解释什么。
Atato Brahma Jigyasa. You heard that before?
我们有听过这个世界吗？
Yeah. That's the first aphorism, the first sutra,And all the Vedanta Sutra.
所以说这个是第一个那个书说伟大的书说第一个世界。
What's the meaning?
然后他的意思是什么呢
？Now that you have achieved the human form of life,
现在你获得了一个人类的形体。
You should inquire about the absolute truth.
然后你应该去询问绝对真理。
And what is the Bhagavatam saying?
所以就像博迦瓦坛所提到的
，Perform your prescribed duties without expecting material results.
所以说我们应该放弃这些物质的这种利益
and inquire about the absolute truth
我们应该去询问绝对的真理
that should be the purpose and goal of your life
然后这个应该是你生活的目标
very practical
very, very practical
还是
这是很实用的 practical yes practical
Okay, so now we're ready for one more verse.
然后我们现在准备好学习下一个诗节。
All of that was just nice review.
然后我们要还是说做一个简单的回顾。
This is text number 11 is a very famous verse also.
然后第十一个诗节也是非常著名的一个诗节。
Vedanta tattva vedas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavani pishabhyate.You've heard that verse before, right? The absolute truth has three features: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
所以说，他说绝对的真理有三个部分， yeah. 一个是 Brahman, Paramatma 和 Bhagavan。
这个很重要。
Three things.
三件事情。
One is that Jiva Goswami says this verse.Is a key verse for understanding the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam.
So, Jiva Goswami, he 解释说这个诗节是理解整个博迦瓦坛的关键性诗节
Very important verse.
非常重要的诗节
Second,
第二个
the absolute truth is non-dual. Not dual. In China, you are familiar with duality, yin and yang.
哦，是唯一的，就是绝对真理是绝对的，唯一的。Dual 是
Everyone knows.
每个人都知道。
This world is a place of duality.
哦，二元性的。
As long as you have light, then you know it's not going to exist of darkness.
OK, 就是说这个世界实际上是个二元性的对吧
Are you alright?
I'm not going to go.
我问那个词的意思是什么
What's that mean? Now, go.
What's the word you're asking?
那个词是什么 He doesn't understand the last word, dual, meaning two access?
Duality.
Duality.
Means two. Light and dark. happy, sad,
二元性，
但
二元
性
pain
up down wet dry，
他说这绝对真理不是二元性的，不是说有快乐就有悲伤，有生有死。
Anything that exists, its opposite exists.
所以说有一个事情存在，另外一个事情就
相
反的。
That's the nature of this world.
所以这个是在这个世界当中的本性就是这么二元的。
The nature of the spiritual world is it's free from that opposites or duality.
所以说整我们的这样的世界就是这种二元性质的。
Supposing you're an intellectual.
所以假如说我们在
intellectual.
Intellectual. 哦，我们的智慧。
Who has big intelligence?
如果我们有智慧的话，实际上就会有人更加有智慧。
So you hear about this place that doesn't have opposites.
所以说我们有没有听过说没有这种相对性的事情呢
？So what are you going to think about that place?
然后我们要去想那么一个地方，没有这种相对性，没有相对的。
You think, well, it's a place of oneness.
然后有那个地方。
It's a place of oneness.
然后也就是那个是个一元性的地方。
That sounds nice, a place of oneness.
所以说如果是一元的这种地方的话，那是一个非常好的地方。
There's complete harmony.
然后那个就应该是绝对的和谐。
That means I am you, and you are he, and we are all together.
所以那就意味着我是你，然后你是他，然后我们都是一样，都是一样的。
That was a song that the Beatles sang.
所以说这是一个 Beatles.
Yeah, you know, the music group from England.John Lennon and George Harris.
Beatles.
They sang a song like that.
然后他就发出这样的声音。
I am you, and you are he, and we are all together, it's all one.
他说我是你，然后你是他，然后我们都是在一起的。
Because in the spiritual conception, there's not two.
因为在这种灵性的世界当中没有二元的，没有怎么样。
That's an impersonal idea.
所以这是一种就是重要的这种观念。
This verse says those are very learned in Vedanta.
所以说这里面解释的就是在那些非常博学伟大的那种博学的伟大学者。
Again, what is Vedanta?
那么什么是伟丹塔呢？
It's this writing of Vyasadeva.
然后维丹塔就是维亚萨写下的。
It summarizes all the Vedas.
然后是维丹塔就是维亚萨写下的对整个伟达的这个解释，这个结论。
That summary is called Vedanta.
所以那些结论被称为维丹塔。
This verse says those who are learned in Vedanta.
然后这个世界就是学习了那个维丹塔的人。
They know the absolute truth.
然后他们知道绝对真理。
And they know that the absolute truth is not dual.
让他们知道这个绝对真理并不是二元性的。
There's no opposites there.
让并没有说有相对的。
And then the verse goes on to say there's different aspects of the absolute truth.
所以说他们就来去解释这个绝对真理的这个方面，绝对真理的方面，绝对真理。
The first aspect is the Brahman realization.
然后第一部分就是叫 Brahman.
The second aspect is the Paramatma feature.
第二个部分就是 Paramatma 的特性。
And the third is the Bhagavan feature.
然后第三个就是他博伽万的这种特性。
Very interesting.
然后非常有意思的。
There's three, but there's one.
然后他们是三个特性，但他们是一个。
No duality.
而且没有这种相对的，没有二元性。
Everything is absolute.
每一个事情都是绝对的。
Very interesting.
是非常有意思。
So I'll describe it in two different ways.
所以说他要从两个方式来去解释。
This will be very useful you. This will be very useful for your explaining Krishna consciousness to people in China.
所以说这个会非常方便你去跟 中国其他的分裂的去解释。
At best, the highest conception that people can think of is oneness.
然后最好就是人们可以想到这个是唯一的。
How do people define that condition of oneness?
然后人们怎么能够去了解到这个唯一性呢？
Well, they look out into the world.
然后我们看一下这个世界。
And they see form.
然后我们有看到这种形象。
So the absolute must be formless.
然后他们看到这个世界都是有些形象的，都是有些形体，所以说他说，绝对是有一个形状。
Out there they see variety.
然后他看到这种多样性。
So the absolute must have no variety.
所以说这个绝对真理就要有多样性。
Out there they see personality.
然后他们看到了这种个性化。
So the absolute must have no personality.
所以说这个绝对的它一定会有它的个性。
Out there they see form, so the absolute must be formless.
然后他们看到那个形状，然后说绝对真理最终是要有一个形状的。
没有
形。
That's the highest conception they can come up with.
然后这个就是他们会获得到的结论。
I mentioned it before.
然后他之前提到。
It's defining things by.Not this, not this.
Okay, 所以说他们的解释就是不是这样的，不是那样的。
It's a formal procedure found within the natives.
所以说这个就是我们在伟达经当中去学习到，就是没有形体，没有什么，就是刚才是相对的。刚才你翻译。
It has a nice Sanskrit name.
所以说它就会有我们就看到很多这种梵文的这种名词。
Neti neti is the phrase.
Neti, neti.
Na, iti. Not this, not this, not this.
所以说伟达的这种定义也就是它不是这样的，不是那样的。
So, what is Brahman?
什么是 Brahman 呢？
It's not this, it's not this, it's not this. That's what it is.
然后 Brahman 是什么？ Brahman 就是它不是这样的，不是那样的，就是刚才不是有形象的，看到形象就。
So a devotee would say, okay, it's not this, but what is it?
那么所以说奉献者就开始询问了，这样可以的，他说如果不是这样的话，那他应该是什么呢？
It's like the same description earlier about liberation.
所以说这就像我们刚才在讲是那个就解脱的那一部分。
The common sense of liberation is stopping the misery of material existence.
而是普通的这种解脱意味着是停止这种物质的不幸。
Supposing you have an infection.
假如说你有一些疾病，感染，对。
So you put some antiseptic.
所以说你就会去涂上一些药膏。
And then it still may be painful.
然后但是同样你可能还是感觉到一些疼痛。
So you may anesthetize or make it so you don't feel anything.
然后等到你过一段时间，你再去涂上，你可能就没有感受到什么。
They do that in dentist office.
所以他们就会做这样的。
They give you some injection in your gum, so you can't feel they're pulling out the tooth.
Okay. 他们有的时候就是打一些麻醉剂，以至于你感觉不会感觉到牙痛。
There's pain, but you don't feel it.
它是疼痛的，但是你只是感受不到而已。
And after some time, the injection wears off, and then oh.
然后过一段时间，这种麻醉剂的药效消失了以后，它又开始痛起来。
Impersonal realization is like that.
然后这种非人格主义者，他就是这样做。
It's defining, spirituality by negating material existence.
所以说他们解释这种灵性的这种活动，就是建立在这种物质的事物上。
Buddhism is the same.
然后那些佛教徒也是这样。
Here's something that must be nothing.
然后这边有一些事情，那么肯定有一些不是这样的。
And that's the goal.
然后我们
What's the goal?
那我们的目标是什么呢？
Nothing.
他们的目标是什么？他们的目标就是什么都没有，就是空。
The Vedic description of Brahman is a little different.
而这种伟达的这种对于 Brahman 的定义就是一点就不一样的。
It's a positive existence called Sat.
然后那些积极的那一部分被称为 sat， 积极的定义被称为 sat。
sat sat means existence。
sat 就是 sat， 它的意思就是存在的
，eternal existence，
它是永恒存在的。
Then there's another feature of the absolute truth。
然后另外的话还有对绝对真理另外的一些特性。
That's the localized feature, the form of the supreme within。
然后在每一个人的局部有一个超灵。
There's an all-pervasive feature of the supreme, and there's a localized feature of the supreme。
然后这个是绝对真理在局部的一个展示，
that's,
局部的一个特性。
That's Paramatma。
然后这个就是 Paramatma。
Paramatma gives knowledge。
然后 Paramatma 它给了你知识。
Paramatma gives forgetfulness。
然后它给了你遗忘。
Paramatma gives remembrance。
然后它给了你记忆。
Paramatma controls the movements of matter。
然后那个也就是超灵 Paramatma 它给了你这种活动。
He sanctions whatever the material energy will do。He sanctions, he approves。
Yeah.
He says yes.
Oh, 所以说他推动的这个事物的进展，他说这样 OK。
And he's situated within the heart of everyone.
然后他居住在每一个人的内心。
That's another feature of the absolute truth.
也就是这个是关于绝对真理的另外一个教导，另外一方面。
And there's a third feature.
然后他还有第三个特性。
The third feature is the personal feature.
然后第三个特性是一个人格性的。
That's called Bhagavan.
然后它被称为是 Bhagavan.
Just like in Bhagavad Gita.
就像博迦梵歌中。
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha 这种，他说。
When Krishna speaks, he's addressed as Bhagavan.
所以说，当提到 Krishna 的时候，他们就会把它称为 Bhagavan.
So I'm now going to give you two.Visual examples to help explain these three.
所以说他给了两种，就是这种角度来去解释这三个部分。
Supposing you're riding in a train.
假如说你，就是你在坐那个火车的时候。
And you're out in the countryside.
然后你就进入这个乡村的时候。
And off in the distance, you see what looks like a mountain, but you're not sure whether it's a mountain or a cloud. It's one or the other.
所以说就像你看到远方那个山上，然后你分不清山跟云。
You've seen like that before?
你 有没有之前看到过这样的事情？
Yes. Okay. Supposing it's a mountain.
假如说那边有一座山。
The rest of the land is flat, but there's this nice mountain up in the distance.
然后在远方就是有一座山。
So then you get out of the, supposing you get out of the train.
假如说我们从火车里面走出来。
You want to go explore the mountain.
然后我们想去爬山。
And you see that it takes some particular shape. It's not just something on the horizon, but it's has a particular shape, a particular location.
所以说你看到远方那座山，就是。它有一个这样的形状，对。
And you can see there's different colors on the mountain.
然后你也可以看到这个山有不同的颜色。
Different kinds of trees and sometimes rocks of different colors.
然后有不同各种各样的树，还有各种各样的颜色。
There's some variety there.
然后那里边有一些就是多样性在里面。
And then you go climbing up the mountain.
然后紧接着你就开始去爬山。
And you meet this nice man that lives in a little cabin on the side of the mountain.
然后你就在那见到了
cabin, little house.
你就在那里去看到了一个小木房，小木屋。
And you go inside and you meet him and his wife and you see what they're cooking for the meal and just make friends with him.
然后你走进去，你看到那里的人，然后他跟他的妻子在做一些食物和他的朋友们在一起。
Those are different features of the same mountain.
然后这些都是对这同一座山上面不同的这种特性。
First is recognizing that it exists.
首先你从远处看到它这座山是存在的。
Then you have some further clarification of its shape and form and a little bit of the variety of the mountain.
Yeah, 所以说等到你仔细去看的时候，你看到山呢有各种各样的形状，各种各样的树木，各种就是不同各种各样的这种它的样子。
And then comes a personal experience of varieties of birds and varieties of animals and the people that live there.
然后紧接着你再走进去，你还能看到那些类似于人格就是人格特性的，有一些鸟，有一些动物，还有那里的人。
It's the same mountain.
但是这都是同一座山。
Just different degrees of understanding the mountain.
然后这些只是对于这个山的不同的描述。
Here's another very nice example.
然后我会再给你另外一个解释。
Supposing that some part of China where they don't have access to a train system yet.
所以说，假如说在中国有一个，
中国有一款火车还没通达，
就是假如说火车还没有到达那个地方。
And、the government decides we want to build the train going over to that place.
他说刚政府说，他说你想。然后请把那个火车修到那个地方。
So the government builds the train track.
然后紧接着人们就是那些政府们就开始去修到那个铁轨。
And this very much anticipated moment comes, the train is going to arrive today.
然后那些村民就开始想，哦，那些火车今天就到了。
None of the people in that village know what a train is.
然后在那里他们从来都不知道火车。
They've never seen one.
然后他们从来没有见过。
So they sent three elders from the village to go receive the train and tell them what a train is.
然后的话是
三个老人去看那个火车是什么样，然后回来告诉我们。
哦，就三个人。
The train is due to come through at night.
然后这个火车今天晚上就到了。
So off in the distance,They hear this rumbling sound of the train and a light coming from a distance.
所以说他们首先他们是听到了这个火车的轰鸣声，还有那个火车那个灯照射出来那个光。
So the first man goes back to the village.
然后紧接着第一个人，哦，三个人一起去看火车，有一个人就回到这个村庄里面。
I've seen the train.
他说，哦，我看到了火车。
It's this light. It's coming from the distance in this slow rumbling sound.
然后那个火车就是远处的一些灯光，然后发出一些轰鸣的声音。
But the other two stay.
然后紧接着第二个人仍然在那待着。
And as the train approaches closer and closer.
然后那个火车就逐渐的开始接近了。
They see that it has some form.
然后他看到这个火车实际上是有一些形状的。
Not just a light, it's many different cars connected together, pulled by the engine.
所以说他看到了，他不光只是有前面的车灯，他还有一节一节的车厢把它连在一起。
And it has this much tall, and it's that much wide.
然后哦，它是这么的高，它是一节那么的长。
So the second man goes back to the village.
所以说第二个人又回到了村庄里面。
And he says the train is not just a light and the low rumbling sound, it's this.Very tall machine, and it sends smoke up the top, and it's this long, and it's that wide.
然后他就会解释，他说那个火车不光只是一些光，也发出一些声音，它还是这么长、这么高、这么大的一个灯的。
The third man waits.
然后紧接着第三个人还继续在那等着。
The train stops.
然后这个火车停下来。
He goes inside the train.
然后他进到火车里边。
He meets the people on the train.
然后他见到了火车里边的人。
He meets the conductor, shakes his hand.
然后他看到了那个列车长，然后他跟他握手。
Gives him some prasada.
然后给了他一些prasada。
Ask him to chant Hare Krishna.
然后让他们去请他去唱 Hare Krishna。
Then he goes back to the village and tells people, "No, the train is more than just a light and a rumbling sound."
然后他紧接着又回到村庄，告诉人们说。他说火车也不仅仅只是那些。
It's more than, you know, these series of cars connected together and this tall and this wide.
所以说它不仅仅是那些光那些声音，而且也不仅仅是那些一节的车厢有这么大这么宽。
But there's people inside.
他说里边还有一些人。
And there's a conductor at the front.
然后最前面的还有列车长。
And he likes prasada.
然后他还喜欢吃沙的。
And he chanted Hare Krishna.
然后他还唱出 Hare Krishna。
So that's what a train is.
然后这个才是火车是什么。
So they're all describing the same thing.
然后他们都是解释同样一件事情。
One is less complete.
然后有一个是不是很完整。
Another is a little more complete.
然后另外一个是稍微完整一些。
And the final one understands all three parts.
然后而第三个是他知道这三个部分。
Very good.
He's trying very hard. So these are the first one is a standard example given in scripture about the comparison of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
所以说这三个部分就相当于是我们在这里解释的对于绝对真理的三个部分。
These three are the same absolute truth.
也这三个都是绝对真理。
And they're realized progressively.
然后它是逐渐的揭示的。
But one must remain patient and continue to get the personal realization.
所以说这个三个。
You have to remain patient and continue pursuing the practice of bhakti in order to get Bhagavan realization.
需要耐心，然后逐渐达到那个最终的目标。
And that's what text number 12 says.
然后下一个世界就是第十二个世界。
Whoops, text number 11 says. So I'm giving you a little introduction to these summary verses of Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以说他想给我们大家一些解释对于这个博伽瓦坛的这种总结性的世界。
This verse especially,is a very important verse in the whole of the Bhagavatam.
所以说这个世界实际上是非常重要的对于整个普加瓦坛。
The Bhagavan feature includes the other two features.
所以说就是那个巴格万的就是普加万的实际上是对于前面那两个特性的一个总结。
One who has realized that Krishna is the Supreme Person,
他说只有当我们去理解到 Krishna 是一个超然的人的话
They will understand that Krishna has expanded himself as the Paramatma in the heart of every living being.
所以说这样的话我们才能够理解到 Krishna 把自己分散到每一个局部的超离
And the vastness of the spiritual sky in which everything is existing is Krishna's Brahman feature.
所以说那么整个的这种灵性世界发出的那个光彩实际上就是 Krishna 所发出的那个光芒
The last verse of chapter 14 Bhagavad Gita says the same thing
所以说在博迦梵歌的第14个章节最后一个世界解释的也是同样的事情
Krishna says I am the basis of Brahman
所以说Krishna 说的我是那个梵的源头
Just like the rays of the sun are based upon the existence of the sun.
所以说就相当于太阳光是来自于太阳。
The sun is the basis and support of the rays of the sun.
所以说太阳是太阳光的源头，太阳光的基础。
The sun rays and the sun planet, one thing.
然后也就是太阳光跟这个太阳实际上是同一个事物。
You won't find a sun without sun rays.
他说你不可能说我有太阳但是没有太阳光。
You won't find sun rays without a sun.
所以说你也不能说只是有太阳光没有太阳。
Is it possible?
然后这是可能的吗
？Break off some rays and sun, put them in your pocket.
然后你把太阳拿过来放在你的那个口袋里。
Got some sun rays.
然后他说这里边有太阳。
Not possible.
这是不可能的。
The rays of the sun and the sun are inseparable.
所以说这两个实际上是统一的是连接的。
Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita.
所以说 Krishna 在博迦梵歌当中解释同样的事情。
I am the personal feature and Brahman is my impersonal feature.And I am the basis of the impersonal feature.
所以说，我是人，我是人格性的，而我那个泛光是我的非人格性的部分，而那个非人格的泛光是我是它的源头。
Are you with me? Have I lost anybody?
So, so I'm with.
Have you understood what I said?
Yeah, 大家是不是能够理解我说的那些？
Would you like further clarification, or would you like to ask question?
所以大家是想我再解释更多呢，还是想来问问题？
Is it clear?
大家清楚吗？
那
个泛光是我的名字，
我是泛光，我是泛光的人，对。 Too
much philosophy， 他说太多的哲学在里面了。
This is a discussion for practicing devotees.
所以说这个就是练习奉爱瑜伽的这种讨论。
For a public discussion, you don't discuss, you don't go into these things so much.
所以说在一些外部的公对外的场合，一般我们不会去讨论这部分。
But these messages you should try to understand.
但是这些信息我们需要，我们要试图去理解。
Because we come in touch with people.That have attraction for the Brahman feature.
就是因为我们接触到的很多人，他们实际上受到 Krishna 这种梵光的吸引。
Just like in Shanghai at the yoga studio, the last yoga studio program we did.
你说就像在上海他们最后做的那个瑜伽馆的活动一样。
One of the students came up.
然后有一个学生出来。
During question answer session.
也就是说在这个上课的在这个问题阶段。
He stood up, he took the microphone.
然后他拿着麦克风。
And his question was this.
然后他的问题大概是这样。
There is the phrase namaste.
然后有 phrase, there is namaste.
There is a phrase, there's an expression.
Yeah.
Namaste.
然后他就有一个词叫 namaste.
And he said the meaning of namaste is I don't exist.
然后他说其中 namaste 的一个意思就是我不存在。
Is that a way of going beyond the modes of nature?
他说这个是超越这种本性的这种方式。Namaste.
I didn't challenge the young man.
然后我没有去挑战那个人。
But that's not the understanding of namaste.
但是这并不是 namaste 的这个理解这个意思。
But where did he get the idea that I don't exist?
然后但是他从哪里获得了这样的观念，我不存在。
He has a teacher that was teaching impersonalism.
所以说他其实是一个解释就是讲解非人格主义的人。
He's a yoga student.
然后他是一个他有一个瑜伽馆。
Here in China.
因为他在中国。
He's not living in an impersonal ashram in India. He's practicing yoga in China.
所以他并不是说他是在印度那些非人格主义的一个学生，而是中国的一个瑜伽学员。
And he's being fed this impersonal understanding of going beyond material nature.
所以说，但是他却有这样的说超过这种物质存在的这样的概念，说我不存在。
So I tried to deal with this question gently.
所以说我就试图这种还比较绅士的就给他去解释。
And it required a little philosophical explanation.
然后的话就是我就去给他解释一些哲学化的一些。
There is an impersonal perspective on what namaste means, and then there is a personal perspective on what namaste means.
他说我跟他解释说，关于这个 namaste 有一些。非人格的这种解释，还有一些人格性的解释。
Like we say, Namaste Narasimhaya. We're not saying I don't exist.
你说就像我们来讲 Namaste Narasimhaya， 并不是意思说我不存在。
It's an expression of humbly presenting oneself before another.
而是说我是谦卑的去来去崇拜另外一个。
那
So any questions or comments?
就是有任何的问题或者说建议啊？
那在这里这个视频所讲到的这个 Brahman， 它指的就是临近天空的 Brahman Jyoti， 还是 Brahman 在这里的非人格的范畴会更大一点，还是指的不同的？
Yeah, because here in Brahman is talk about the light from the spiritual world, Brahman Jyoti. I just told all the impersonal some this part, yeah.Impersonal，
就是非人格，非人格部分。
对，就是非人格这个概念。
The concept， this Brahman talks about，
that's the question。
完全。
Question is the here Brahman talk about just the Brahman Jyoti， or talk about the Brahman the impersonal concept？
Same，
同样的。
Not two things。
这是不是两件事，这是一件事情。
Mamita told like my teach friend, and we put some printer like this, and after that the print comes, and this look like the impersonal, this look like one solution for this print, and you can explain some other solution forever to remove the print.
No, not at all. Do you understand what she said?
Mm-hmm.
Could you say in English?
I'm trying. I think it's very powerful. He's asking, rejection, release the pain at one time, at
pain.
Certain time.
Yeah. I like the novocaine.
She wants to ask you about how to release the pain forever.
Forever. Oh, Krishna Bhakti.
通过 Krishna 的奉养服
No more material body, spiritual body.
可是再也没有物质的身体，是灵性的身体。
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita.
所以 Krishna 在佛教堂歌里面讲到
Chapter 2.
然后第二章
The soul cannot be cut by any weapon.
所以说灵魂不能被任何的武器所伤害。
The soul cannot be burned by fire.
然后灵魂也不会被火所燃烧。
The soul cannot be moistened by water.
然后那个灵魂也不会被水淹。
Nor can the soul be withered by the wind. The soul is eternal.
所以说灵魂也不会被风所吹走，因为灵魂是永恒的。
Pain.Comes when something is broken here.
然后那个疼痛意味着是在这里什么东西破坏了，什么东西坏掉了。
And if there's no material body, then there's no material pain.
所以说，当你没有物质的身体的时候，你就没有这种物质的疼痛。
You have a question?No, you're just worried about translating. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
This is good. 当我吃东西的时候，我怎么认为说我这个吃的东西是给灰尘啊，或者别人？
你要翻译吗
？When eating, I always to enjoy my senses in the.Sense gratification, but I forget to show for the listener. I want to know how could I
remember Krishna all the time.
Remember Krishna all the time, you, especially when I eat.
Especially when you
eat.
Eat.
Yeah, eat
okay. One can remember Krishna.Always when one becomes attached to Krishna.
所以一个人只有当他开始依附于 Krishna 的时候，他才能记得 Krishna。
When you're attached to someone, you remember that someone.
所以当你依附这个人的时候，你就会记得这个人。
When you're attached to something, you remember that something.
所以当你依附于这件事情的时候，这件事物的时候，你就会去想到这个事。
So by becoming attached to Krishna, you remember Krishna.
所以说你想要能够去你只要依附于 Krishna 的时候，你就能记住 Krishna.
It's very natural.
所以这是一个非常自然的。
Now specifically, even when eating.
所以特别是我们在吃东西的时候。
That's your question.
然后这是我们的问题。
There's a verse by Rupa Goswami.
然后 Rupa Goswami 提过一个师姐。
Found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
然后在 Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 风爱的风爱甘露。
Atakshi Krishna Madhi Na Bhaved Grayan Indriyai Sevan Mukhi Hi Jiva Dao Svayam Eva Svaratya Da. In that verse, the word Jiva means the tongue.
然后在那个世界里面的几方啊，就是指的这个舌头。
Rupa Goswami writes that it's very difficult to realize God.
然后在 Rupa Goswami 在这里提到说，非常能够困难的去
realize，
就是去意识到这个舌头。
But it's possible when you control the senses.
但是只有当你控制感官的时候才有可能。
Starting with the tongue.
然后从舌头开始。
Now, controlling the tongue is the most difficult sense to control.
然后舌头实是最难控制的一个感官。
And the way to control the tongue is by vibrating spiritual sound and by tasting Krishna Prasada.
而去控制舌头的方法就是，发出这种灵性的声音和品尝供奉给 Krishna Prasada。
So it's nice when Krishna Prasadam is prepared very nicely with the taste very nice.
所以说很重要的就是能够去烹饪这些 Krishna Prasadam 让它非常的可口。
So you can, the way to control the tongue is one, take only Krishna Prasadam.
然后能够控制舌头的一个方法就是去吃 Krishna Prasadam.
And number two is to recognize that Krishna has enjoyed this.
然后的话，第二个就是去想到 Krishna 可以享受这些食物。
Once Srila Prabhupada was asked early in our Hare Krishna movement.
然后在 Hare Krishna 的运动的早期的时候，啪啪的问
Is it okay when we see a beautiful sunrise to appreciate what a beautiful sunrise? See the beauty of nature.
就是说，当你看到夕阳就是太阳落山的时候，看到了这个美丽的时候，你要去惊叹说，这个这么美丽的夕阳来自于什么？来自于 Krishna。
Or we may see a very beautiful rose and appreciate the beauty of the rose and its fragrance。
然后或者说是我们看到这个美漂亮的这个玫瑰花的时候
，rose。
所以说我们看到了这个它的就赞美它的美丽，像来自于 Krishna， 或者它的芳香。
Prabhupada's answer was yes.
然后帕帕德说是这样。
And when you see the beautiful scene in nature,
所以当你看到这个大自然的美丽的时候，
you should think, how wonderful is my Krishna?
所以说你就会去想 ，Krishna 的创造是如此的完美。
And same thing with Prasada.
然后同样的事情就是在 Prasada 当中。
Krishna has enjoyed this. How nice.
他说 Krishna 如此享受这些最美味的食物。
This devotee who has cooked so nicely, Krishna must be very much pleased with them.
所以说这个奉献者他这么好的去烹饪，那么 Krishna 一定会很取，会受到取悦。
So that takes away the sense of being the enjoyer.And places Krishna in the position of being the enjoyer.
那么所以说去品尝这个菩萨的美味，实际上去享受 Krishna 这种快乐。
Krishna goes at the center of the activity.
所以说 ，Krishna 实际上他进入了这样的活动当中。
Then there's control.
然后这样的话，我们就会得到控制。
有 question？
你有问题吗？
No.
没有。
我们再回答。Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So who would like to lead Kirtan?
他说谁想来领一个 Kirtan 的今天？